Before we get into our discussion of perseverance today, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, your Bible should just kind of fall open to there. It says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more we might ask or imagine." I like how some of the other versions put it, "exceedingly abundantly above all we might ask, think, or imagine." You know, God wants to do more in your life. He wants to do more in your life, especially those who are faithful, especially those who are trustworthy to what God has called them to do. Now, today I want to talk to you about perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. Pastor Art wanted me to call it perseverance. I wanted to call it something else. And I'm going to call it what I want to call it. So here we go. Today we're going to talk about more pain tolerance. Somebody say more pain tolerance. You know, if you, we've all been a part of those conversations, or we've all seen those conversations, especially when a group of men get together and one of them's got an injury. And each man wants to do what? Go punch the, yeah, that happens too. But does what? Tries to one up one another. And then you get into a bunch of tales that are not actually true, where some guy will like, "Well, when I was a senior in high school and we were on our state championship football team," in reality, they never made it to any kind of championship football game. "I broke both my legs on the first quarter, but I played to the end and I had to go to the hospital for 3 weeks." Yes. And you get all these men just trying to one up one another and each other. And then eventually the women will join in and say, "I gave birth." And then all the men, are quiet, especially if they are smart and wise. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to talk about some spiritual pain tolerance. Because we all need some spiritual pain tolerance. You know, there's some things that happen when we were baby Christians that bothered us that shouldn't bother us now. You know, if you're still bothered by things that come up that used to bother you and they still bother you to this day, you might have some growing up to do. This message will also be a test of your pain tolerance. But in Hebrews chapter 10, let's start in verse 32. "Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering." We're going to talk about suffering today. "Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule. You were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering in the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance, or pain tolerance, is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will." You know, if you don't have much of a pain tolerance, you won't continue to do what God has called you to do. People often misunderstand the message of faith. That faith repels all evil and all bad. And if anything bad happens to you, it's because you don't have faith. That's not true. I would argue the opposite. If you want to live by faith, you have a massive target on your back for the devil. And bad things will happen. But it's your faith that will get you through. It's your faith that will get you through. Pain tolerance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what has been promised. Verse 37, for in just a little while, somebody say that, in just a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. You know, Jesus is coming soon. I want to say that to you again. Jesus is coming soon. He said that there will be signs in the stars. There will be signs in the heavens. There will be signs on earth. And tomorrow there will be a sign. And is Jesus coming tomorrow? Probably not. Well, how can you say that? Because everybody's saying, he's coming tomorrow. He's not. You know, a good test, you know, some people may not like this and disagree with me, but that's okay. I'm at the pulpit, so. A good test is if everybody's saying Jesus is coming this day. He's probably not. He's coming this day. Why? Because Jesus doesn't even know the day. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows when he's coming. And it says that he'll be like a thief in the night. No one will be expecting it. No one will know. But you know what? April 9th is a good day for Jesus to come back. And you know what? He could prove me wrong. And I'd be willing to accept that. And he can come tomorrow and I will repent. But you know what? When everybody's saying he's coming this day, he's probably not. But there will be signs. And I can tell you, tomorrow is a sign that Jesus is coming soon. Verse 37, for in just a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. My righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Can I put this phrase in here? I will take no pleasure in anyone who doesn't have any pain tolerance. But we are not like those who turn away. Say it, I'm not like those with no pain tolerance. We are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Let's turn just a couple pages over to James chapter 1. And let's start in verse 2. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so if you're in the Bible app, you can follow along with me a little bit better. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way. Can I repeat that? Troubles of any kind. Somebody say any kind. Any kind. You know, oftentimes when trouble comes, one of the first questions people ask is, who caused it? Who caused it? Was it the devil? Was it me because I let the hedge down? Did I let my faith down? Or some ignorant people will say, it was God. You know, God does send things to train us. He doesn't send sickness. He doesn't send disease. He doesn't send things that he died and paid for that we can come out of. But he'll send correction. Can I tell you, correction hurts. Correction hurts. It's not fun. But troubles of any kind come your way. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. We should be excited, joyful when bad things happen. We're going to build some pain tolerance today. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, your pain tolerance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. I like that. In the NLT, it says, verse 6, so let it grow. You will be, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You know, there should be things that just don't bother you anymore. You know, there's been oftentimes in my life, I'll sit and think, you know what, Lord, I've really got this love walk down. The Lord is really developed that love walk, and I've got it. It's good. And then somebody will do something so stupid and so foolish that it boggles my mind. And I am quickly humbled. that my love walk is not where I thought it was. If you want, let's skip down just to verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. You know, there's a lot of Christians that should just read that verse and memorize that verse. When I am tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from your own desires. Now, what is the temptation oftentimes? To quit. Temptation comes from our own desires for what? To get rid of the pain, to get rid of the hurt, to get rid of the discomfort. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Let's turn over just a couple more pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, a lot of people think that the message of the word of faith, we don't talk about suffering. Well, let me tell you, there's been a lot of suffering that I've endured, our family's endured, people in this room have endured. But I want to tell you, it was not caused by God. A lot of people want to say, God has caused this suffering. God didn't cause the suffering. He didn't. The devil did. I did. There's things that I have done that have caused suffering on myself. Why? Because I'm foolish from time to time. You are foolish from time to time. How many of you can be honest and say, I've been foolish from time to time? You know, your actions have consequences. Actions still have consequences. You know, sin still has consequences. You know, there's grace for forgiveness and there's grace for restoration. But if you go off and hit somebody with your car, there's still... Are you with me? If you do something foolish, is there forgiveness? Yes. Will the Lord restore you? Yes. Are there still consequences? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's start in verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen. One more verse I'd like to share with you. It's very simple. It's in Proverbs 24, verse 10. It says this, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Oftentimes, I feel like this is the way the Lord's led me to preach multiple times. I like to preach personal responsibility. You are personally responsible for your spiritual life. You are personally responsible for your actions. You are personally responsible for receiving from God. You are personally responsible for maintaining your relationship with the Lord. It's not my responsibility to maintain those things for you. I can encourage you. I can give you tools. Pastor Art can encourage you and counsel you and give you tools. But at the end of the day, whose responsibility is it? Ours. It's ours. And when there's bad things that happen in our life, sometimes it's what? On us. It's really quiet. That's okay. We're developing some pain tolerance. What causes low pain tolerance in our lives? I got a couple of them here for you. You ready for them? The first one, a lot of people deal with it, shame. Somebody say shame. Shame. Well, what do you mean? There's a lot of people that will let things happen because they think they deserve it. I deserve this. I deserve this. I'm not here to get into a contest of pain tolerance or anything like that, but about a month or so ago, I had a medical thing happen in my life, and I'm not going to get into details or anything like that. And it was a Monday at noon, and immediately pain hit my body. I didn't know what was happening or anything like that. I called my dad. He rushed me to the emergency room. Doctors said it was this, and they gave me this, and then the pain just continued to get worse and worse and worse. And within 24 hours, I was in the emergency room at another hospital preparing for emergency surgery. And after all of this, I actually had to have a second surgery. And after all this, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, why? 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 I mean, I live by faith. I love the Lord. I give, I serve, I do this, I do that. And it's so simple because we all want to know why, right? When bad things happen, oftentimes we want to know why. Can I give you a very simple answer? The devil. The devil. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. He wants to take you out. He doesn't want you to walk in victory. He doesn't want you to walk in the blessing. He doesn't want you to walk in health. So he will do everything he can to do what? To stop you, put pressure on you, to put pain, to put people in your life that you thought you could trust and they turn their back on you. And guess what? It hurts. There's no denying that what? It hurts. There's pain involved. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe God anyways. I'm going to keep on doing what God has called me to do. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. The second thing that he reminded me, he said, Tim, you've lived 30 years in perfect health without anything going wrong. Be thankful for those 30 years of everything going well. Amen? And you know what? If you've been the person, you've just struggled physically your entire life, be thankful for the day that you feel good. I'm not in pain. I feel pretty good today. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. And you know what? I'm in perfect health now. I'm in perfect health now. And praise the Lord for it. But there's some people that think, I deserve this. And they just let things happen to them. I want to tell you, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He's removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And you can stand up and say, this is not staying in my life another day. And you know, if you wake up tomorrow and it's still there, this is not staying in my life another day. And if you wake up the next day and it's still there, this is not staying in my life another day. And you keep confessing and you keep believing and you keep praying and you keep doing everything that you know to do until what? You beat it. The second thing, what causes some low pain tolerance is offense. Somebody say offense. You know, when pressure comes in the form of a person, you can take the bait and get into offense and let that hurt just begin to fester and fester and fester and fester. where you think that you're getting even, you're getting bound. Where you think, I'm getting even. No, you are continuing to live in low pain tolerance. And you are letting that thing beat you. Number three, unforgiveness. Somebody say unforgiveness. Where oftentimes if we stay in unforgiveness, it intensifies pain. When you stay in unforgiveness, when there's someone that has done something wrong to you, you begin to think, I can't forgive them. And that's okay. I might forgive them eventually, or I'll forgive them if they apologize. I'll forgive them if they apologize. Well, let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is for you, not for them. Forgiveness is for you and not for them. Why? Because when you forgive, you drop the charges. You don't need somebody to apologize to forgive. Can I say something else? You don't need somebody to be alive to forgive. There are plenty of people in the grave that have done wrong to people that are still living, and those living people are living as if they're in the grave. And the more that you stay in unforgiveness, the more you're going to realize, I don't have much pain tolerance. Number four is ignorance. There's just some people that don't recognize the work of the devil. They just don't recognize that this pain and this pressure is not supposed to be here. And they will fold under any circumstance, under any situation. And oftentimes that comes with new Christians, baby Christians. But how many of you know there's plenty of Christians that have been Christians for 40 years, 50 years, and they're still ignorant? Can I talk straight? Can I shoot straight with you today? Can we build some pain tolerance together today? I love you. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. And lastly, what causes low pain tolerance? The ease of quitting. The ease of quitting. Quitting will never lead to victory. It's a pretty simple statement. Quitting will never lead to victory, but it assures continued failure. Oftentimes, people will think, if I just quit, I can get this pain off, then everything will be okay. Let me tell you, even if you quit and you can get some sort of temporary moment of pain relief, guess what? The problem is still there. The problem is still there. The devil wants us to quit and not live in victory. So what's on the other side of quitting? Nothing. If you quit, you give up, you quit reading the word, you quit standing by faith and living by faith, you quit doing this, you quit giving, you quit forgiving, you quit this, there's nothing on the other side of it but continued problems, continued failure, continued pain. And all it does is intensify. The more we quit, the more pain there actually is. Why? Because the more pain tolerance we get, the more endurance we get, the more perseverance that we get, things just don't stick like they used to. They just don't stick like they used to. So what increases our pain tolerance? What increases our perseverance? If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you twice. One in the New Living. And then in just a moment, I want to read it to you out of the Message translation. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with some pain tolerance. It may not look like it now, but when I was in high school, I used to run. Not so much anymore, but that's besides the point. And there's people that are way better runners than me, and I'm not saying like I ran track or anything like that, but in baseball, we would run poles. You would go from foul pole to foul pole along the outside warning track, and then we would run laps and run things called suicides. Anybody run one of those? Yeah, those are not fun. There's a reason it's called that, but that's besides the point. Some of the worst conditions to run is when it's cold. Why? Because your joints are cold, your knees are cold, your ankles are cold, and the air is cold. And you get that cold air in your lungs, it what? Hurts. It's not fun. And when you run your race, whether it's good weather or it's bad weather, if it's good weather and you've got some endurance, that's great. But you get into those cold weather months, you get into that January, February in Murray, Kentucky, it's not fun running. Why? It hurts. It hurts. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. I want to read this to you out of the message. You just sit back and enjoy this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way. All these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. You can put up with anything along the way. Amen. Poke yourself in the chest, say this, I can put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, when you find yourselves with some low pain tolerance, when you find yourselves slowing down, yielding to that temptation to quit, go over that story again and again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Let me tell you, we can look at Jesus and say, wow, look at him go. Wish we could do that. Or you can look at him the way he designed for you to look at him. Him as an example that you copy. Not just admire. Yes, we should admire the great example of Jesus. We should. Absolutely. I thank God every day that Jesus came and died for my sins. Praise God for it. But guess what? His life is the example. It's the blueprint. It's the instruction manual. If you want to get this right, if you want to live for God and do this the right way, you follow the instruction manual. You do what he did. You live how he lived. You forgive how he forgives. He was on the cross. Nobody was saying sorry. And he said what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can say the same thing. Father, I forgive them. I forgive them. So what increases your pain tolerance? Well, number one, you need to remember your cloud. Somebody say, remember. Remember. My cloud. What do you mean? There are people cheering you on. There are people cheering you on. Even when you are alone and you feel lonely and you feel like nobody is there, guess what? There are people in heaven cheering you on. There are people cheering you on. People that have gone before you, great generals of the faith that have gone before us. Abraham is cheering you on. And guess who else? Jesus is cheering you on. The one who really matters, and he's cheering you on, making intercession for you, building your palace, building your home, preparing the place for you. He's cheering you on. Amen. But you know what? Not only do you have a cloud in heaven, you've got a crowd on earth cheering you on. This body right here will cheer you on unlike any other. Yes. If you need prayer, you come to church. You need help, you come to church. You need encouragement, you come to church. You know, I'm not saying this to make anybody upset or angry or point anybody out. But when people need healing in the community, you want to know where they come? Which church? This one. Why? Because they know there's power here. They know this crowd will cheer them on. They know this crowd will stand with them. They know this crowd will believe for their healing. There's one person in particular. They had left the church, got a bad diagnosis, and they decided, I got to come back. Got healing, and then left. It's sad. But it's a testimony to you. Why? Because people know healing is at Hope Harbor Church. There was another individual came into terrible financial trouble and behind on rent and all this kind of stuff. And they came here, believe in God, even started giving and tithing until, boom, financial provision happened. Praise God. And then did what? Someone with low pain tolerance. But you know what? That's a testament to what's being taught here. People know if you need healing, this crowd will believe for your healing. If you need financial provision, this crowd will believe for your financial provision. But remember your crowd. You know, it's so much better. Maybe you can remember when you were young. Maybe you were running track or playing football or gymnastics or cheerleader or a band competition or something. Maybe even chess. Who knows? And you had somebody in the crowd cheering you on. And if you've never had that, I'm sorry. But you know what? You've got one now. I remember there was a baseball game in particular. I was probably about 14 years old, maybe 13. And I was on the mound and I was pitching and, normally I was pretty good. I was a lefty. And so there's not a whole lot of young left-handed pitchers. So I had a little bit of an advantage. But this game in particular, was against a team that they thought it would be a good idea to put all of the junior varsity and varsity players on, for me to pitch against. I'm 13. Not junior varsity, not varsity, just playing Little League Baseball. And I got knocked around so bad. by the time the first inning was over, it was 5-0. It was awful. And during this game in particular, my dad would, anytime I was pitching, my dad would stand right by the dugout where the fence was so I could see him. And if I was off on something, he would signal, shorten your stride, lengthen your stride, drop your arm, whatever it is. I remember this game in particular. He was giving me tips, and I was just getting knocked around till eventually he just faded back. but I remember every game, my mom and my dad were there cheering me on. I remember band competitions. I couldn't see them. There was usually quite a large crowd, but they were there cheering me on. And it felt good knowing there was someone cheering you on. And you should know there's someone cheering you on right now. Here on this earth, I'll cheer you on. Pastor Art is cheering you on. There are people in this building that will cheer you on. But even when you don't, you're alone here on this earth. You're at home. And you're feeling that pressure. You're feeling that pain. There's people in heaven cheering you on. They're rooting for your victory. They're rooting for you not to give up, to keep running. Don't quit. Number two, strip off the weight. Strip off the weight. You know, it's hard to run with endurance when you're carrying things you're not supposed to carry. It's hard to run with endurance and perseverance when you're carrying around unforgiveness. You're carrying around strife and bitterness. You're carrying around things that you were just not meant to carry. So what do? You take it off. You forgive people that probably just don't deserve forgiveness, but you do it anyway. You do it anyways. You know, I learned something, and the Lord just kind of revealed to me how to communicate this here recently. Something that I've learned when it comes to forgiveness, you start at the end and then work your way backwards. Here's what I mean by that. I know that at the end of the day, I am supposed to forgive. I'm supposed to forgive this person. So I've made up my mind. Before I process anything, before I process my emotions, before I process how I feel about this, before I even figure out what I'm thinking or feeling about this situation, I've made up my mind, I forgive them in advance. And then I'll work my way backwards. Why? Because if you work your way through your emotions, you may never get to forgiveness. In fact, you probably won't. You probably won't. If you decide, well, if you do what counselors say and therapists and stuff like that, and there are great counselors and therapists, I'm not saying this, but the majority of them will say we need to work through these emotions. And there's a time and a place for that, and I agree with that. But when you've got some spiritual weight and some spiritual baggage, you need to start at the end and then work your way backwards. Get it off. Don't think about how do I feel about this and try to process your way to then getting it off. Why? Because you're supposed to be running now. You're supposed to be running now, not process your way through it so then you can start your race. You are supposed to be running now. I want to remind you what we read in Hebrews chapter 10. He who is coming will come and will not delay. Jesus is coming soon. There's a time and there's a time and a place for the Lord to heal those emotions. I firmly believe that. And to work through those things. Why? Because there's still pain involved. But start at the end. Take the spiritual weight off. Strip it off. Get rid of it. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive people in advance. Forgive people that are in the grave. And run. Strip off the sin that so easily entangles you and trips you up. There's that sin that just kind of ties your shoelaces together. And every time you get a step, you do what? You trip. And it's a simple thing of what? Tying your shoes right. Get the stuff off that doesn't belong there. Number three, remember the great example of Jesus. But not just remember it, study how he did it. Study how he did it and replicate it. Study how he did it and replicate it. Jesus went through an intense amount of pain. Jesus went through an intense amount of pain. Before the cross and during the cross, and can I say this? Even after, there's things that we've done to him that cause him pain. But you know what he does? Forgives us anyways. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. But study how he did it and replicate it. Study how he did it and replicate it. He washed Judas' feet the night before Judas kissed him on the cheek and betrayed him. You do good for somebody who has done something terrible to you or will do something terrible to you. That's why Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. I don't want to bless them. I want the curse on their life. That's what you want, right? You want to see those people that have persecuted you and done evil things to you and said things about you and lied about you. You don't want to see the blessing on their life. You want to see the curse. But what did he say? Bless them. Do good to those. Do good. When you look at that in the Greek, it's actually talking about philanthropy. Do something good financially. Do good seed. To the person that hurt me, yes. Why? Because that's the example. But I don't like it. We don't always like the medicine that we're given. If you remember as a child, they would give you medicine and it tasted terrible. So then they started filling it with what? Different flavorings. Didn't work. It was terrible. It was just as gross that tasted like cherry or grape. But guess what? You don't like the medicine that you're given. And when you bless people, there's a supernatural release on the inside that you can't really, it doesn't make sense. But when you forgive in advance, you bless people, you do good to them, there's something that just happens on the inside that weight just drops off. Number four, if you would, turn with me to one more passage. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts. So we can now know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Or other versions put it like this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, and then part of me just wants to finish the lyric, but I get up again. Nothing ever going to keep me down. But what does the Bible say? We get hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. If we go back to verse 8, it says, we are pressed on every side. You know, when there's a intense amount of pressure on every side, things should break. If you remember just probably close to a year ago now, there was that submarine, the Titan, that went down to go see the Titanic. But what happened? They disconnected the game controller and things just started. No, I'm just. But they get down there and this thing's not built for what? Pressure. That amount of pressure causes what? Implosions, explosions, whatever. But when there's pressure, things should break unless what? There's something on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. Unless there's something on the inside that is stronger than the pressure on the outside. I want to tell you, you've got pressure on the inside of you that's greater than the pressure on the outside of you. That's why I say this, rely on the power of counter pressure. Rely on the power of counter pressure. I want to tell you that you've got power on the inside that is greater pressure than the pressure that is on the outside of you. That's why it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is what? Than he that is in the world. Greater is the pressure that's on the inside of me than the pressure that is on in the world. You've got something stronger on the inside of you. You know, you've got perfect pain tolerance built in you. You've got perfect pain tolerance built on the inside of you. You've got Jesus living on the inside of you, the perfect example of pain tolerance and perseverance and endurance. You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, the power of God on the inside of you. You've got perfect pain tolerance. But you know what? You need to get rid of that shame. You need to get rid of your offense. You need to get rid of that unforgiveness. Maybe you need to realize there is a battle. There's just ignorance about spiritual warfare and spiritual battles. You need to realize there is a battle going on, and the devil does not want me to win. The devil is not your friend. And even if there's that temptation to quit, it's not a friendly gesture. It's not a friendly gesture. And there's that temptation just to give up and quit. Quit reading the word. Quit believing God. Quit standing in faith. Quit confessing what you're believing God for. Quit confessing what you know is yours. You quit resisting. You quit resisting. There was a time when I was having that medical episode, just so y'all know, I had a kidney stone. It was awful, but that's besides the point. There was times I was sitting in the wheelchair in the waiting room. I was like, how do I get rid of this pain? How? But you know what? You push through anyways. You push through anyways. Now, it did make me feel a lot better when I had several medical professionals, specifically female medical professionals, that said that kidney stones are worse than childbirth. And that was awesome. I don't want to say it made me feel like this was worth it. It definitely didn't, but it was definitely a little help. I'm not here to argue it, okay? I'm just doing what my doctor told me to do. I'm just believing what they said. Sarah definitely did not appreciate that. I'm pretty sure all the women in here did not appreciate that either. But that's besides the point. We're pain tolerant, okay? All right? You can get over it. That's okay. praise God. But we need to get over the ease of quitting. We need to get over the ease of quitting. You know, some people quit relationships that they were never meant to quit. Breaking relationships with people that are part of your cloud, your crowd that's cheering you on. Quitting your church. You know, when you quit your church, the people in here still love you. They still love you, but guess what? That relationship is severed. That relationship is severed, and it hurts. When you quit giving because of pressure, you quit giving because of pressure, financial pressure. I can tell you, there's been times in my life when there's been financial pressure. And there's always been that slight temptation. Well, if you just didn't give, then you could do this. It's not an option. It's not an option. You know what? Maybe you need to think about it this way. Well, you know what? If you just quit that time in prayer and quit reading the word, then maybe you get to sleep in a little bit and then you feel more rested and refreshed for the day. It's not an option. You know, if you just quit that relationship with that church, then your friends would not think you're a weirdo and that you go to that church. It's not an option. You know, if you just quit standing in faith, if you just quit standing in faith and quit believing God and quit confessing the word, because it's just not going to happen. That's not an option. Quitting is just not an option. Did y'all get something out of this today? Yes. Praise the Lord. If you would, bow your heads with me, close your eyes. You know, we sang a wonderful worship song. And the bridge goes like this. Rain came, wind blew, but what? My house was built on you. You know, oftentimes when you think about that parable that Jesus told, you make things up that just weren't there. Because Jesus said, one built his house on the sand, another built his house on the rock. I remember as a kid, even they illustrated these things with the felt boards or whatever. And the house on the sand was a little shack. And the house built on a rock was a castle. And it was bricked and it was beautiful. But that's not what Jesus said at all. These guys used the same materials. The house was the same. It was just in two different locations. And when the pressure came, the rains came, the wind blew, the houses that looked the same, the lives that looked the same, the people that sit right next to you had two different results. Your lives can look the same just like the person right next to you, but it's not about the house that's built. It's about where it's built. I'd rather have a shack on a rock than a castle built on sand. And so I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today. In fact, if y'all could just sing that bridge for us just real quick. There's a need for pain tolerance in the body of Christ. Because the closer we get to Jesus' coming, the greater the pressure. The greater the pressure. So Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your great example. And we run with endurance the race that you have set before us. And we repent for ever being lazy, for ever giving up, for ever quitting. And we ask for your forgiveness. Everybody, if you would pray this with me, if you want to mean it, pray it with me. Jesus, I repent for being lazy, for giving up, for quitting, for taking the easy way out. I want high pain tolerance. Whatever comes, it won't bother me anymore. I thank you. I'll start at the end and work my way backwards. I'll start with forgiveness and work my way backwards. I'll start with confessing. I'll start with believing and then work my way backwards. Say this with me. Jesus, I'll follow your example. Your example was not just for me to admire, but to follow. Your pain tolerance is my pain tolerance. In Jesus' name. If y'all would stand with us, we're going to sing this, declare it together. You're the house built on a rock. You're not the house built on sand. You are going to make it through. Amen.